Today, we're going to be talking with Shaggy, one percenter from the Invaders Motorcycle Club. The Invaders Motorcycle Club has been around since the 60s, and today, we're going to be talking about prospecting, starting new clubs up, the whole nine yards. Let's get to it. And we got Shaggy, 1% from the Invaders, also NCOC. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Also, I am the chairman of the COC of Missouri, and we just had our COC meeting yesterday, and it's going to really go along with a lot of what we're going to talk about today, because it was talked about yesterday in the COC.
Oh, it was, huh? What was talked about?
Absolutely. One of the things I like to do at the end of every COC meeting is add a little bit of education in the sense of the unwritten protocols, the unwritten rules that we used to follow like 20, 21 years ago when I got into this, and try to bring some of that back. A lot of people have the mentality that we got to write everything down. That was one of our major downfalls, you know, when the big bust started happening in the 2000s and up to, you know, when Black Rain happened and all the bust over in Virginia and stuff like that. And, you know, when you have bylaws that are like the Library of Congress and the alphabet soup gets to it, it gives them an open door to your whole organization. And people tend to forget, you know, bikers are very to themselves, inclusive, and very not secretive, but to the point where, you know, our organization is our organization. It's nobody else's business what we do. And every organization has that mentality.
Right, right.
But one of the major things we talked about was prospecting and politics. I am a very firm believer from learned past experience that politics does not belong internally in any club. Your brothers are your brothers. If you can't speak to your brothers like you would around the table, around the bar, at a closed function or whatever, they're your brothers, man. They can tell if you're harsh. They can tell if you're well-spoken. They can tell if you're the rock breaker and the guy they send to go dig ditches, or they're the guy that you're sending to do attorney work or doctor work. They're still your brothers. You know, if you're a politician in a motorcycle club internally and you're blowing smoke up your brother's asses, you're a liar and you're cheating your brother out of just explaining to him what you want. And he can agree or disagree. If you're blowing smoke up his ass and you convince him to agree, that means he's a sheep. He's not a brother. He's a sheep. He's part of the problem. And the politician's part of the problem. You know, I'm a big proponent of bringing back the brotherhood the way it was years ago, for the cell phones, for all the technology. Everybody truly believed in being together, riding together. You know, everything's about me. And in the 1% world that I grew up around and was raised around, it wasn't about me. You know, you were the men that I was around, and a lot of the men I'm around now are very selfless. They're very they'll put themselves last of every person in the club, to include prospects and hangarounds, because that's what's important to them. You know, these men know what I am my brother's keeper means. They follow it. They preach it, teach it. They're the example of it. And those are guys that I look up to. Those are guys that that I meet across this country doing all this COC stuff and NCOC stuff. These guys, man, are the leaders and speakers, and they're the doers, you know, and they're an example of how this lifestyle is supposed to be. You know, when it comes to politics, politics should be limited externally. You know, you have to have, you don't want to just be, you know, very brash with some folks right off the bat, because, you know, people take things in this lifestyle a little bit personal sometimes when it's not. Many people have the inability to separate personal from business. I'm one of those guys, man, that and a lot of people around me are a lot alike in the aspect of business is business, and, you know, sorry to hurt your feelings, but it's not about your feelings, it's about what's best.
Right. I did a video on new motorcycle clubs, and I think the last couple days I've really been hitting a lot of stuff on that, as well as this past Friday I hit on a lot of creators because it's getting crazy out there as far as new motorcycle clubs popping up, guys giving advice on the internet. I seen this one thing on Facebook, dude talking about how the tradition's bad, and he's claiming to be 1%. I think there's a lot more important subjects than what these other creators are putting out. And people are flocking to this kind of stuff. And it's like, man, it's destroying everything.
So I'll start with the tradition part of it. One percenters are very traditional. They're very, 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 very about the old ways, in a sense of there's a pride that comes with it. You went through the step that somebody went through 50 years ago or 60 years ago, whatever the case may be. Our club's got a lot of really cool traditions. I'm not gonna get into them, but when I seen him, I was like, man, you guys did some shit like that back then. It was kind of amazing in the aspect of a lot of clubs have gotten away from their traditions. I came from another organization that was very steeped in tradition, and it was one of those things where, man, in the 1% lifestyle, the tradition is what starts the bond between the members, starts the bond between the prospect and the guys that are already there, that have already earned their patches and are already living the lifestyle. And it gives them a connection as a new prospect or seasoned prospect, it don't matter, or a brand new member with that 50 year member or that 40 year member, because they went through the same shit. What a lot of people have gotten into is the snowflake crowd, where, oh, some circles, and you can't call a prospect, you're calling by his name. You don't want to embarrass him or belittle him in public or anything else like that. You should never belittle a prospect in public, but calling him a prospect is not belittling. There's all this millennial type thinking, this new age thinking of everybody wears their feelings on their sleeve, and my vagina drips constantly, and the pad just can't hold it all, and I just want somebody to cry with me and hold my hand. Man, you want a definition of a 1%er? His vagina, no, he don't own one. She's usually on the back of the bike on a pussy pad. She ain't on the there ain't no vagina. Ain't happening. There's men in the 1% world. That's what it's about. It's also about being somebody with integrity, and you don't lie to your brothers. You don't cheat your brothers. You don't steal from them. You don't deal with their women or woman or whatever they're into. You respect them with the utmost admiration at a point. You always try to do what's best for them if you're going to be a good brother. Some people, that's hard for them to do, and there's reasons why the community has gotten like it has. Like, people on the internet are saying, it ain't just people on the internet either, man. It's other clubs, other civilians are seeing shit. People in the public that never was privy to what they see now are seeing stuff that 20 years ago it was hidden from them. And the dramatization of our lifestyle 10 years ago really brought to light a lot of things that probably shouldn't have been brought to light, in the aspect of it was over dramatized, and it made us look like we were nothing but criminals. We were None of us could possibly have good jobs. None of us could possibly have a good family life. None of us could possibly own nice things that we earned and we paid for. Nobody, none of us, we're all drug dealers and womenizers and gun runners and dope runners, and we beat people up in public and threaten people in public and do stupid things and put every one of our brothers at risk at any time, it doesn't matter. We're that dumb. So there's been kind of a reboot in the MC community, and it's kind of starting with the 1% world, and it's starting with some of the OMCs and some of the MCs. They're kind of tired of it, how it's kind of overbloated, and you know, they're tired of hearing guys say and people say that there's fake people out there. There's not real bikers. There's 1%ers that are running around that ain't 1%ers. Man, if you just said that shit 15 years ago, you got your teeth knocked down your throat, and you'd have been strung up in a yard arm or inside of a bar or inside of a tree outside and used as a pinata. That was one of the most disrespectful things you can say, and now it's commonplace. It's sickening for me to hear that. It's absolutely just the most degrading thing you can say to somebody who's earned their patch, and you know, just because they don't necessarily live it like you do, or you see something that they're doing differently than what you've read or something that you've heard or something you watched on TV. Well, news break right here, man. This is coming at you. It's live. It's fresh. The world's changing. Okay, the days of not having jobs and riding cool choppers across the country and panheads and shovelheads and flatheads and kickers only and stretched out D rakes and buying motorcycles for $25 and making them badass, that day is over. Today's day is the day of everybody's got a camera, everybody's a snitch, everybody's got to be in everybody else's business. Nobody minds their own business. And the minute you smack a motherfucker, somebody's got a camera on you. So guess where you're going? First degree felony assault, you're going to jail. Five or 10. Bam. That's the way they treat bikers. Why aren't bikers going around beating everybody up? Well, first off, back in the day, they didn't beat everybody up. 9 times out of 10, they were provoked. Bikers want to be left alone. To this day, that has never changed. Bikers want to be left alone. Clubbers want to be left alone. 1%ers want to be left alone. We're not unapproachable to the public, man. You know, it's cool. People want to be respectful and just be respectful as human beings, man. Most people don't know what 1%er means. You know?
And how do you think the legacy of the 1%'s been damaged with new clubs just popping up, throwing it on, or clubs that started with cops and shit now putting on 1% diamonds? And it's just, it gets ridiculous if you know, if you're on the outside looking in and you've been around for a while.
Well, I said this last year during COVID when it was really ramping up. Everybody was staying home. Nobody was riding. A lot of clubs, to include my own, were canceling nationals because we don't want our elders to get sick and die. I mean, they're our treasure trove of history, you know, and they're some of the coolest guys. Man, if a dude's been in a club 20 years, or more, when that guy walks into a room, man, to me, that's like a rock star. You know, a famous movie star can walk in, and I'd just ignore him, be like, hey, whatever. But, man, guys in my club that have 50-plus years, man, I'll do anything they tell me to do because I'm on their coattails. It's because of them I'm here. And what I just said right there is very important and truthful, but that's also what's missing. Young guys are afraid of the old guys. Man, them guys are brothers. Show them the respect, man. Go up to them and sit down with them and say, tell me a story. Bring them a beer. Bring them a soda. Bring them whatever they want. Tell me a story. Teach me something. Tell me something funny. Tell me something cool with history. Man, I could sit there and listen to the old guys for days and days and days and days. I love that kind of shit. One thing about 1%ers is they're very passionate people. They're passionate about their lifestyle and their brothers and their club, the whole nine yards. I'm one of those guys very passionate about it. I get told quite often, you know, Shay, you got to tone it down a little bit, you know, but I refuse to. This life is the last free thing we have in our society because we choose to keep it that way. And back to what you were saying, I said back in COVID that when things freed up, we're going to see pop-up clubs everywhere. And the clubs across the country that are old and established and wearing diamonds have had their fill. It's like you said in that video that I called you right after on, saying, man, some things you kind of missed the mark on, and the other things you hit the nail right on the head because I deal with, as a chairman of the COC in Missouri, I deal with on a daily basis, constant messages and text messages, emails, messenger on Facebook. Hey, man, what do I need to do to start my own club? Okay, what kind of club are you going to start? Well, you know, I'm prior military, and I got about 5-6 guys prior military. We're all serving the same unit, and we're going to serve. We're going to help the veterans out, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. And I said, okay, well, in the state of Missouri, we've probably got about a good 10, 12 military clubs. What are you going to do that's different than what they're doing? What are you going to do that's so original that the 21% clubs that we have in the state are going to go, God damn, man, they came up with something new. And then after about 2 days, 3 days, a week, or whatever, going back and forth, what it boils down to is they don't want to prospect. They don't want to earn their patch. They don't want to spend the time that those of us that are wearing our patches had to spend to be here. Okay. And as I predicted, it's happening here in Missouri. Pop-up clubs are coming out of everywhere, and they're saying, oh, we've been here for this long. Really? You ride your motorcycle anywhere? Did you go to any bars? Did you go to any rallies? Did you go to any events and benefits? Did you go to any clubhouses? Did you ever come out of your basement? You know, do you guys do Zoom meetings everywhere? Every time you had church, you know, what are you guys doing, man? Who approved your patch? You know, who'd you talk to? And typically what I get is, why don't I have my patch approved? Really? Do you know what lifestyle you're entering here? This is a lifestyle of three things. And take this to heart, man. A 20-plus year Vago told me this 6 years ago, and I'd say this at every COC meeting, if the meeting ain't too long and I can remember to say it. There are three things that make every organization great. Respect, communication, and participation. Without those three things, you have nothing. You don't have a motorcycle club. You don't have an organization whatsoever. First, you need to respect your members. You need to respect each other in a manner to where you can coexist with each other without constant bickering and bullshit and fighting basically destruction of the club, right? You need to communicate. You need to talk to your brother. Spend time with them. You need to communicate, you know, your thoughts on making the club better. You need to communicate on ideologies of that's hurting the club, right? You need to come together as a whole to fix that. And that leads into participation. You need to participate in the clubhouse. You need to participate in the runs. You need to participate in the raising of prospects. You need to participate in the, all aspects of making that club better. Mm-hmm. You need to ride your motorcycle. It's a motorcycle club, right? It's not a gang. It's not LA's finest street gangs or, you know, New York's or whatever. It's a motorcycle club. Everything is geared. Every member has one thing in common, and that's their love for that machine. And if they don't have that love for that machine, they shouldn't be in a motorcycle club, because they love being a patch holder more than they love being with their motorcycle. What drew us all here was our motorcycles. One of my closest friends and brothers told me, he said, man, you know, you need to have a relationship with your motorcycle in order to be in this lifestyle. You need to have a love for that thing. A bad example to give is a motorcycle I just got done working on about 2 o'clock this morning. Doesn't do maintenance. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're in a motorcycle club and you don't do maintenance on your motorcycle, I mean, just the bare minimum. I mean, just making sure shit's not falling off, making sure that when you're in a pack of your brothers and you're riding, you know, 80, 90, 100 mile an hour down the road, handlebar to handlebar, you know, front tire to back tire, and having a good old time with your brothers just sailing down the road, and something flies off and hits one of your brothers, you take the pack out. Just think about how you'll feel if that brother got killed, you know. So maintenance, there's such a whole facet to being in this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And it takes prospecting as the first step in doing that. You know, it takes a lengthy prospecting time. The club I came from, you know, minimum was 6 months. I prospected almost a year. You know, I was young and dumb, and, you know, I could take screwing up to a whole new level. And when I went to 1%, you know, it was the same thing. You know, I was much older, much wiser. I had learned a lot of what not to do and what to do in a motorcycle club. So I actually had fun prospecting. And hindsight's always 20/20. I looked at 21 years ago and I had fun then too. I just didn't realize it. Because when you start those initial steps, you start getting to be a part of the circle. And once you're part of that circle and you're brought into it, if you don't know, the work really starts then. It could be, the fun could get sucked out of this real quick if you let it. Guys, forget that shit, man. Prospecting is one of the most important aspects of being a motorcycle club.
What do you say to, I get this all the time, what do you say to people that clubs need to get along? If they don't get along, it's all going to end. We need to start this kind of organization, even though NCOM and all that's been around since the mid-80s. What do you think about somebody that says, you know, we need to start something to get everybody together? It's already been there.
Well, being, I'll say 6-7 years ago, I was totally against all of that. You can't get along. Yeah, it's not typically a club hating another club. It's a personality conflict nine times out of 10, or it's, you know, like the old history of you know, the old clubs and the shit that's been put out publicly, you know, what caused the wars between those clubs, women, money, drugs, shit like that. Today's day and age, it's a personality conflict. There's a lot of dick measuring going on, and that's not uncommon. I think, and I kind of got put in a situation a couple years ago. I was in at an income in Alabama, and we were sitting in a meeting, and there was a former Wisconsin senator in there, and the dude's missing a leg, and he rides a trike, and he's got over a million miles on that trike, and the bike he had before that, a million miles. You know, dude's a hardcore rider, hardcore biker advocate, and biker rights advocate, part of the MRO. Part of the MRFs, and he's really knee deep into it. And he's sitting on his board and he stands up and he goes, you know, and this room is filled with, I mean, I was in a different club then, and this room was filled with 1%ers from all over the nation. I mean, different clubs. It was impressive to me. And he stands up and he says, you guys need to tell me what you want from me, what you want me to do for you to make this more effective, more in your benefit. Tell me what you need me to do. I mean, what are you guys wanting? And the room was silent. I raised my hand. And I said, you're not going to get anything out of this room. And the reason being is, until Motorcycle Club quit making front page news, or the first thing that pops up on your news feed in Google or your Facebook feed, or, you know, all those other social media site feeds, we're fighting a losing battle. We continually shoot ourselves in the foot over egos and other things like that. So I said that in the aspect of, I had to testify up at Jeff City for the profiling bill some years back, and I was putting on a good case, man. The Motorcycle Profiling Project hooked me up with the information I needed from the survey, And I mean, I was selling it good, man. The statistics were right. The numbers were right. And then the night before, I was unaware that two major, you know, 1% clubs went at it, fist to cuffs, luckily, no guns. Nobody got killed or really hurt. But it's front page news that these two clubs beat the living hell out of each other at a bike night. And I kind of just looked over at the A-Bait guy, and I was like, well, we just shot ourselves in the foot there. And that senator kind of looked at me and was like, yeah, they're a gang. That's how they think of it. You're a gang. There shows right here in the newspaper.
Right.
I am a proponent about clubs kind of cleaning the air up. And here's why. I know the old guys know about the history. And some of those guys, man, are pretty hurt, man. Each guy that comes up new, we hear the history. Or should be hearing it anyway, right? And those guys went through, they loved their brothers deeply. I mean, every one percenter said it at wartime, man, there ain't nobody but the club and each other, and brotherhood's at its highest, right? But today's day and age, communication's a lot easier because there's more accessibility to it. Everybody's got a little computer in their hand. There are some really good leaders across this country that I've met at NCOC and NCOM. So they do have some people that in each club that really doesn't want to see any more of their brothers go to prison or the morgue. I don't think we can just as a humanity get along, you know, per se, but we can tolerate each other in the aspect of, you know, try respectful means first, try communication first, and then, you know, one percenters are still one percenters. Discretion is always the better part of valor. And I think with this movement, this ground roots movement within the NCOC, NCOM, the COCs, and all this stuff that's happening in all the different states that are against bikers, it's pushing for everybody to kind of get along in the sense of, you know, think before you act type of mentality. Whereas before it was like, oh, I've seen somebody ain't supposed to be here. Well, they ain't going to be here. So do I think everybody should get along? I think everybody should come together for a common cause, fight in a unified front for that common cause, and be respectful of each other. I mean, the name of the game in the MC community, one percenter down to t-shirt clubs, is, you know, respect. It revolves around respect, period.
What about those people that don't know about NCOC and NCOM, and how do you go about educating them about the two organizations?
Well, so I'll start with the NCOC. The NCOC is the National Council of Clubs. It's club involved and we're pretty heavily active trying to get the MRF and all that involved, because they have a very common base, which is getting legislation passed for motorcycle profiling when incidents happen, and law enforcement and the outfit suit try to get their version out there. There's somebody out there to speak on behalf of the bikers, like Waco, right? In that aspect, it's really hard to get them to understand, because all they see is a bunch of, you know, bearded, tattooed guys wearing, you know, vests with logos on them. And they can't tell one club from the next. And all they see is a bunch of really burly looking scary dudes, in a sense. Some of them, anyway. I mean, a lot of clubs have really cleaned up. But as far as that goes, it's really hard to explain to them. It's like trying to, the old saying Harley Davidson had, if I had to explain it, you wouldn't understand, type of thing. As far as the COC goes and NCOM goes, that's a little easier to explain, because the Abates and the Freedom of the Road Riders and the MRFs and all the other MROs are kind of a part of that from the different states. You know, Abates pretty heavily involved with it. Some of the MRFs are pretty heavily involved with it. So you got some civilians walking around that are clearly motorcycle enthusiasts and clearly good, you know, hearted bikers, but, you know, they're just not clubbers and they don't want to be a part of that, but they want to help with the dream JR from the Sons of Silence had a long time ago, which was bringing the clubs together, open up lines of communication, and kind of fight for our rights and quit getting fucked with by the cops. It's really hard to explain a biker to somebody who's not a biker. You know, that's what is funny about this lifestyle, man. You can't just come in here. And a lot of guys have over the years. I've witnessed it and seen it. You know, the average age of clubs right now is between 35 and 45. And those are your young guys. I mean, you're still getting your 20-somethings, but not as much as it used to be, right? These guys are retiring or getting to the end of their, you know, big union jobs, or getting the end of their big jobs. They've got money stacked up. Now they're going through a life crisis, and they want to be a clubber. They want to be a one percenter. They want to be in a three-piece patch or something. And you look around and it's like, you know, shit, I've been in this lifestyle 21 years, and some of the guys are coming in and just starting, and they're some of them will be my grandfather and great-grandfather. So you kind of wait a little late in life for this. It's kind of a young man's game, you know.
Right.
made it there doing the hard work. You know, that's why they look like that. But you look like that coming into this, so you're fucked.
Right. One last question. What is the agenda for NCOM and NCOC right now as far as getting the word out on profiling?
The NCOC's number one priority is always going to be profiling. So in the Capitol in Washington, D.C., the House passed the first portion of the highway safety bill. And in there were three things that were added to it. And the Democrats have been waiting to get that to the Senate and get it approved because they want to spend that money. The three things that they put in there was, one, about stopping specifically motorcycles for, you know, DUI checkpoints, stuff like that. Stopping motorcyclists because of the apparel they are wearing, and profiling was specifically stated in that first, you know, stop that. So a federal profiling bill will be a part of that highway bill that passed, and it will pass the Senate. They want that money too bad. The second thing was putting somebody that is a motorcycle enthusiast and part of a motorcycle rights organization on a council to represent the bikers in certain committees. There was two different ones. I can't remember them right offhand. We talked about them yesterday, but I had my phone in front of me and I could read it. The third thing was the autonomous vehicles. As of right now, these autonomous vehicles that are going across the country being tested, they can't detect motorcycles. That's one of the biggest complaints the MRF has had with the autonomous vehicles thing. They can detect pedestrians, they can detect dogs, they can detect bicyclists, they can detect other cars or the trucks, stuff like that, but they can't detect motorcycles, which doesn't make any sense to me. So they have a guy who, or a person that is going to be from the motorcycle rights organizations or MRF, also a motorcycle enthusiast, somebody who rides a motorcycle, will be on a board for that as well. And you know, that is a big thing. And the NCOC, they're pushing for that federal, you know, profiling bill, as well as each state. You know, they help every COC and the chairmen and stuff who are going up to the capitals in each state fight for that. And Double D, who kind of leads that up, and a bunch of those guys that have been doing it since the beginning, are really, really passionate about it. They're really smart. They really get, they've got the nuts and bolts down to a science. I mean, they got the language down the whole nine yards. And I think we're up to like five or six states now. And once this bill goes through, one thing that's always been said, once they put it out federally, states usually just fall in line.
Rock on, man. Well, I really appreciate having you come on to talk about NCOM, NCOC. Hopefully people got a little better idea of what it is and why they should support it, as well as your thoughts on new motorcycle clubs, the prospecting, how people should treat their fellow brothers inside the clubs.
Well, there's one other thing I want to say, and you said it about a lot of guys send you emails and messages and about why do they have to go to the dominance to get permission. I used to think that same way, you know, I got a constitutional right. I served my country. You know, I was willing to die for my country, and I got to go and ask these guys if I can ride my motorcycle with the patch I have on. Learning through all these years, why you have to. One, the motorcycle community is not a gang community. It's not for everybody either. The reason why it is a protocol to go to the local dominant club or 1% club that's in the area is he is going to, or they are going to bear most of the profiling. They are going to bear most of the blame for something you might do. I have personally witnessed organizations who aren't even RCs, they're part of a military style post, I'll say, going around telling people they can't fly, they can't do this, they can't do that. So when the word gets out, it's the one percenters are going around doing this and doing that, and they ain't even left their home. We bear most, if not almost all, of the responsibility of things that happen out in public, and pretty much 10 times out of 10, we ain't even there or nowhere around it because people can't tell one patch from another. I was in a grocery store, a gas station, paying for my gas, and this 18, 19-year-old little gal was behind the counter. She seen me in my colors and says, "Oh, my God, there's a Hell's Angel." And I looked around because I thought I didn't follow protocol, and I was the only one in the store. And I said, "What? You? And I was like, "What school did you go to? Can't you read? They don't say Hell's Angels back there, you know?" But people go off of what they know. So in each region, there's well-known clubs. There's several states that have one specific club there and one specific organization. And when shit hits the fan and things happen out in public, it's not Joe Smuckatelli from, you know, Suck a Dick MC that is getting called out for it. It's that Invader did it, or that Angel did it, or that Outlaw did it, or that Son did it, or that Hessian did it, or that guy did it, or that. It's not who did it. It's who they perceived that did it, which brings a lot of heat to the organizations that are just trying to be left alone, live their life, stay away from the public, stay away from the squares, be with our brothers and our families, and just leave it at that.
Man, that's the best way to describe it right there, man. Again, this is Shaggy 1% from the Invaders and also the chairman of COC in Missouri and works with the NCOC. So hopefully you guys learned something today about this, but that ending was awesome.
Hey, man, ride free, ride hard, because if you're going to be in a motorcycle club, you're here because of the freedom and the brotherhood, man. That's it. We're the last free society here. If you don't enjoy the freedom, go the fuck away, man. I'm riding my motorcycle. I'm flying my colors. I'm proud to be an Invader. Let's do this.
Rock on, man. Thanks for coming on the show. Beautiful stuff, Shaggy.
All right, Hollywood, I'm going to go ride motorcycles and get in trouble. Take care, buddy.
There you go, man.
And there you guys have it. Why it's important that you have to go to the dominant, to follow protocol, to start a new motorcycle club. Better yet, why you should join an established motorcycle club instead of starting your own, as well as information on why you should support NCOC, NCOM, organizations that have been around since the mid-80s that are already doing what others are trying to start. Very important to know your history and who to get your advice from. Talk to you later. Rock on.